This is East Texas News Roundup for the week ending February the 15th, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers, which include Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties, brought to you by the editors of those five newspapers. PCPC News Director Valerie Riddell kicks off this week's podcast from Polk County.
Hey folks, here we are with the second round of the East Texas News Roundup's new format. I started off last week by saying it was a bad news week for Polk County. Well, if that was bad, this is monstrously awful because within a 24-hour period, Polk County has experienced the murder of six people. Five of them were killed out in Blanchard in one incident. And that happened early Monday morning. And on Sunday night, we saw a domestic violence situation escalate where an elderly man in South Polk County, the Segno community, killed his wife and then called 911 and deputies responded out to their home. So it has been a week filled with tragedy. If you ever feel the urge to do something nice for your first responders, this is definitely the week to do it. Our Polk County Sheriff's Department spent more than 18 hours out on the scene of this mass shooting on 3126. And those are our friends and neighbors. I grew up with some of those guys, so you probably did too. And the neighbors around the Delaney Ranch on 3126, they could definitely use your thoughts, prayers, good wishes, homemade cookies, whatever you got that can help people get through the next week. Evils descended on Polk County like flies on an outhouse. The mass shooting incident, if you have not heard, if you've been under a rock, at 10:30 a.m. Monday, first responders got a call out to the 3600 block of FM 3126 after someone reported that there had been found multiple people shot. It apparently stemmed from a welfare concern. There is one person that was at the home at the time of the shooting that survived. She was barricaded inside a locked bedroom, and she eventually contacted a family member who asked someone to do a welfare check, and then they called 911. Chief Deputy Byron Lyons identified the dead as Carlos Delaney, who's 74, his wife, Linda Delaney, who's 72, their granddaughter, Ashley Delaney Horn, who was 27, her husband, 54-year-old Randy Horn, and Randy and Ashley's 15-month-old daughter, Rainley. Linda, Ashley, and the infant were found outside, just outside the door of the home. Carlos, most people knew him as Gene Delaney, and Randy Horn were found inside. They were, by all accounts, a welcoming family. They had a lot of visitors at their ranch. They raised cage-free eggs and miniature horses. They had retired from the welding business, but there's a lot of hurting people left in the wake of this shooting. So anything you can do to kind of encourage those around you, I think most people are really struggling with coming to terms with that. In Segno, Willie King, after an argument, apparently turned a gun on his wife, Barbara King, she's 71. Deputies found her deceased from an apparent gunshot wound at the couple's home on Sunday. Byron Lyons has said his office received a 911 call from 1132 Summerall Road in Segno, in which Willie King admitted that he had shot his wife, and then he went outside and waited for deputies to arrive and take him in custody. He's being held at the Polk County Jail under a $100,000 bond. That bond was set by Judge Raspberry out of Onalaska. That's another thing, you know, when you're talking about these mass casualty situations. Our elected justices of the peace act as coroner in our community. Two of our justices are women who have children of their own, so keep them in your thoughts too. In comparing the statistics from that 24-hour period to all of 2017, which is the most recent year that we have FBI crime statistics for, we had in 2017 countywide, we had five murders worked by the sheriff's department, and they have six that they're working on right now. And that's with the help of the Texas Ranger and lots of other folks. That incident had the game wardens, Texas Rangers, DPS, the Sheriff's Department, and Livingston PD all helped at that. In a community our size, when you have a serious crime against a person, like a murder, the Sheriff's Office has only three people that will work those incidents because of the higher degree of skill it requires, a lot of additional steps. So we don't have every police officer that we have working murders or robberies, things like that. Livingston PD has two. Corrigan Police Department may have one person. But other than that, that's why we call in the Texas Rangers for those kind of incidents. If you don't deal with major crimes against person all the time, level of expertise that it requires, you know, you really have to keep those skills sharp. So that is the truly horrible news in our county. There are a few good things going on. Polk County Commissioner's Court is evaluating projects for Hurricane Harvey recovery. Their county grant administrator, David Waxman, told the county on Tuesday that they have been allocated just under $1 million for infrastructure work. The actual total is $995,241, and 80% of that money has to be spent within the Goodrich zip code, which is 77351, and 50% of the total must be used for projects that would benefit low to moderate income families. So that is projects that would, if the county suffered another incident similar to Hurricane Harvey with serious flooding, it would help public infrastructure items, drainage, streets, that kind of stuff that either failed to function or was wiped out in the damage. One other item just across the lake in San Jacinto County, the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office announced that Preston Stevens has been located unharmed. Preston had been missing since June 28th of 2018. He's 22 years old and lived in Cold Spring and left his home without his phone and his keys. In a statement released by Sheriff Greg Capers in San Jacinto County, he said that Stevens told officers that he had been depressed and needed some time on his own. And in June 2018, he left and went to California and basically kind of lived off the grid. He didn't use social media. He didn't watch TV. He didn't realize that folks back home were looking for him. And basically, he supported himself by working at a car wash, which paid him cash. And apparently, we all learned that California does not follow the same missing person protocols that Texas does. So they were not aware of the fact that Texas had entered Preston in databases indicating that, you know, if found, people needed to contact the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office. So that is good news. Preston may be having some serious talks with his mama at this point. And the Sheriff's Office has asked that while they are delighted that he is alive and well, if anybody else does decide to just, you know, as an adult, you are entitled to walk away from your home and not speak to people. But let somebody know. We're a small communities with limited resources, and we don't want to allocate those resources to hunting up somebody who is gone because they chose to be gone and don't want to be bothered. So that's the news in and around Polk County. Be nice to each other and have a great week.
Howdy, everybody. Chris Edwards here, representing the eastern part of the Polk County Publishing Empire, and bringing you the highlights of some of the news and events in a rounded-up fashion, of course, hence the name of the podcast, from the pages of the Tyler County Booster. So, to kick things off, I think today's top story from my neck of the woods comes from Woodville with the Lady Eagles. The Lady Eagles are now playoff contenders, having won a game Monday night against the Hardin Lady Hornets. And it was a pretty good thrashing they dealt them. 96-44 was the final score. So with that victory, the Lady Eagles are now in the playoffs. They are also bi-district champions, and according to the Texas Girls High School Association, they are the third-ranked 3A team in the entire state. So, way to go, Lady Eagles. If you pick up the booster this week, there's a little more in-detail coverage of that game and their bid for a championship. Our intrepid Hale Hughes covered the game, and also some other Woodville sports goings-on. And in the article that he wrote, the statement was made that it was a great playoff start to a state title run, which is what the Lady Eagles have their sights set on. Ring season is a popular phrase used by the players, and Woodville has great momentum on their side to begin this year's state playoff run. Their season record is an impeccable 34 wins and one loss. And if you want to see where they're going to play next, they're actually playing Friday at 6 p.m. They're playing the Hitchcock Lady Bulldogs, and this game is going to be played at Grand Oaks High School in Spring. So if you can, get out there and support those Lady Eagles, and here's hopes that they have a fruitful playoff series of victories and can go all the way to state. That'd be great. All right, so moving on down to some news from city council and governmental type things. This is actually the top story on the front page of this week's booster. The city council meeting in Woodville on Monday night. This has been an ongoing concern of some property owners here in Woodville. A couple of individuals who own apartment complexes, and one of them has a couple of trailer parks. The garbage rates in town were discussed by these two gentlemen, and they feel that the rates are unfair. One gentleman expressed concern that he was overpaying his garbage bills for an apartment complex he owns within the city limits. Now, currently, and the ordinance states, and I think it has been stated for a long time, that people who own commercial properties cannot get garbage service from anywhere else. They have to use the city service. Now, outside the city, of course, it's an open market, and this gentleman's contention was that sanitation waste management provider that operates in the county had quoted him a price that was less than half of what he was paying per month for the city garbage service. And they've granted him a dumpster, too, as a courtesy service. And this was an issue that was talked about at pretty good length during the meeting. And the city administrator, Mandy Reisinger, had some information to share about that. But one of those things is probably going to come up again, and some debates probably going to be had. Now, one of the gentlemen, his ultimate kind of take on it was, you know, well, you, meaning the city council, you are the ones who come up with the ordinances, so could you look at this and maybe right this wrong or injustice, as he referred to it. That's one of those things that's probably going to come up again pretty soon, and maybe the next city council meeting and others thereafter. And also at that city council meeting, a resolution was passed to go ahead and apply for a community development block grant for the city of Woodville. And these grants that are issued in the amount of $275,000, Mandy Reisinger, the city administrator, said that the project they were really looking at doing with this money, if they were awarded it, is to put a new bar screen up at the sewer plant. A project that she's estimated would cost anywhere from $350,000 to $400,000. Now, these grants, the nature of them, it's a 50-50 match, and the city has money in their enterprise fund to cover the match and the difference that wouldn't be factored in if the money was awarded. Also, in CDBG community, I always got to think about that one consciously. It's money that's issued through the Texas Department of Agriculture, but it's the Community Development Block Grant. And you cover enough of these meetings and you do these kind of stories enough, the acronym is actually CDBG. But I always got to think about that because, you know, there was the old rock club in New York City where the Ramones and Talking Heads and everybody really started up that was CBGBs. So it's like consciously I got to think. Community Development Block Grant. Even when I'm writing the stories that, you know, feature this information about these grants, CDBG, not CBGBs, but CDBG. But anyways, the county as a whole is also going out for one of these grants. And in Commissioner's Court on Monday morning, they approved a resolution the coming fiscal year to go ahead and apply for it. And one of the things that's being looked at is formerly the Tyler County Water Supply Corporation, which is now a special utility district. They want in on some of this funds, and the county entered in an intergovernmental agreement with them if awarded the money that authorizes the county to distribute those funds where they're needed. So there was that. And also in county government news, they passed a resolution Monday morning in support of the Alabama Coushatta tribe and the ongoing battle they've had to keep their gaming center open. So good on Judge Blanchett and Tyler County for voicing some support for what many see to be a discriminatory thing that's going on with our neighbors out to the west and in Polk County on the Alabama Coushatta tribe. So before I leave you with my roundup of Tyler County goings on, I wanted to make note of something that if you follow the Booster Facebook page, you may have noticed lately that we've been putting some updates about these produce giveaways in Colmenel. Now, this has been going on a little more frequently than it was in the past. It used to be maybe once or maybe twice at most a month, but it's almost been a weekly thing. And this retired pastor, Bill Massey, and some of his friends have been doing this in front of the city hall there in Colmenel. And one day they might have sweet potatoes and carrots, and the next day it might be, you know, fresh fruit, oranges, apples, whatever. But it's a great thing they're doing. So keep abreast of our Facebook page if you can. And if we have enough advance notice, we'll post something in the newspaper on the community calendar about it. Bill Massey is a good, kind-hearted sweetheart of a man. I interviewed him for a story back in December. And another thing that they've been doing is these blessing boxes. And that was what the story was about. that and some of the other ministerial things that him and some of his friends are doing to get out in the community. But these blessing boxes, there's two of them that I know of. There's one of them in front of the city hall there in Colmonel, and there's one of them in front of Taos Baptist Church, which is out on 256 East going out toward Jasper. And they've constructed these big cabinets, and they call them blessing boxes. And the idea is, you know, if you're down on your luck or you might need some kind of staple item or canned good or something, they're full of non-perishables and things like bags of rice and beans and even bottled distilled drinking water. And there's personal items, toiletries, things like that. And it's just a really good way of helping the community. The idea is, and I think that the sign is posted on both of them, take what you need, but give back if you can. So kudos to Brother Bill Massey for doing that. And like I said, keep abreast of our Facebook page, and we'll be putting little updates about whenever they might have a produce giveaway there in Colmonel. So with that in mind, I hope everyone has a great and prosperous rest of the week, and be sure to have a fun and safe weekend. And as always, be kind to one another and be good to yourselves. Thanks.
Hey y'all, Megan Whitworth here with what's going on in Houston County. It's been a busy time with a festival, a bike race, and catching up with escapee Bobby Eugene Wood. So let's dive in and start with what's up with Bobby. So just a history on the young man. He is a 55-year-old man who was incarcerated as a pre-trial detainee on a felony charge of engaging in organized criminal activity. He escaped from the Houston County Jail the morning of Labor Day on Monday, September 3rd, 2018. At the time of his escape, he was assigned to work in the jail's kitchen as a trustee. As the result of a very intense manhunt, he was re-apprehended in Trinity County just before midnight on Friday, September 7, 2018. He was subsequently indicted on a third-degree felony charge of escape from custody, and his trial on the charge was set for February 5th. However, Wood entered a plea of guilty on the charge the day before the scheduled trial on Monday, February 4th, and was sentenced that day. Waiving a jury trial, he entered his plea in the 349th District Court in Houston County before presiding Judge Mark Calhoun. On his judgment of conviction by the court, Mr. Wood was sentenced to 25 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice Correctional Institutions Division. So moral of the story, don't try to escape from jail. And you can read more about Bobby and all about the trial on page 1A of the latest issue of The Courier. So in other news, the 37th annual Love Lady Love Fest was held this past weekend. The crowning of the king and queen kicked off events on Thursday, February 7th. We have to give a big congratulations to J.R. Cousins and Sarah Thompson for taking on the new titles. They are both seniors at Love Lady High School. The weekend festivities included a baby beauty pageant, a car show, parade, and much more. In the story, which begins on page 1A, we do include all the winners of the different categories, and Alton Porter writes all about the crowning of the queen and king. And as Alton mentioned, we do have coverage on the Davy Crockett Classic that was held last Saturday and Sunday. The event started in 2017 and has grown to become a two-day, three-stage event nestled in sweet, beautiful Crockett. So for the top prize winners and photos of the event, you'll want to check out page 8A of The Courier. So in fashion with Valentine's Day, The Courier featured a love story between two love lady lovebirds who are celebrating their fourth anniversary today. So what attracted me to their love story was that it was so unique. So meet Amanda and Chris Hughes. They are awesome. I was able to sit down with them last week and just really learn about their love story. So they are an adorable couple who got married after 3 days and 5 weeks of knowing each other. Chris knew he was going to marry her the first time he saw her, and Amanda knew a couple of hours after that. They are truly the yin and yang of each other. We sat down and we talked for an hour all about their love story, how they met, her three boys, and how it all came together. And I don't want to spoil too much, but you definitely need to read their journey of finding each other, and it's all about heartbreak, love, and faith. And that begins also on page 1A. So also in light of love, for Valentine's Day, I wanted to reach out to residents in Houston County to hear their love stories. So I posted on Facebook in a group called What's Really Happening in Houston County and asked people how they met their significant other. There were over 70 comments, so I think it's safe to say, Houston County, you're in love. We shared some of the stories on page 7A of the Courier, but there will be more stories that people shared posted to our website at hccourier.com. And just a reminder, this weekend there is the second annual Mary Allen Founders Day set for Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Good Shepherd Fellowship Church in Crockett. The event is presented by the Mary Allen Museum of African American Art and History Board of Directors. The event is free to the general public. The event will feature guest speaker Reverend Henry Lovelady, speaker on the Presbyterian perspective Jim Tom Ainsworth, 93-year-old Mary Allen College alumna speaker class of 1945, Johnny May Brooks Dell Thompson, and the passing of the inaugural torch to the new president, Dr. Thelma Douglas. Also in this week's paper, we are starting to share the third 6 weeks Crockett Elementary Honor Roll. We shared one photo on page 2A, and we will share more photos on our Facebook page at HC Courier. So coming next week, we will have coverage on the Crockett Area Chamber of Commerce Annual Awards Banquet, which was held on Tuesday. The theme was An Evening in Paris, and the hilarious radio personality Tumbleweed Smith was the main speaker. It was a great evening full of good laughs, yummy food, and great company. Also, as of Tuesday night, the Crockett Bulldogs are the District 23A basketball champs. They won over Teague with a score of 61-57. So a big congratulations to those Crockett Bulldogs here at the Courier, and I'm sure all of Crockett, we are very proud of you. So the number 14 ranked Bulldogs posted an 11-1 district record and will carry a 15-game win streak into their bye district game against Rogers on Tuesday, February 19th at Brian Rutter High School. The tip-off is 6 p.m., so you don't want to miss that game. Moral of the story, there's a lot going on in Houston County, from crime to festivals to bike race to love stories. You don't want to miss out what's really going on in Houston County. You can make sure to pay attention to our Facebook page. Just a reminder, it's at HC Courier. And don't forget to read up on the news on our website at hccourier.com for the latest updates on Houston County. From Megan Whitworth, I hope y'all have a fabulous week.